Hello and welcome to Lush. I'm Katie Dancy Downs, and today I'm talking to Catherine Reeder about her experience of going from bystander to activist and how other people can follow in her footsteps. Catherine set up an e-petition to ban the sale of fur in the UK, and just before the deadline, the petition reached the 100,000 signatures it needed to be considered for a debate in Parliament. With the debate just around the corner on the 4th of June 2018, I sat down with Catherine to talk about her experience of setting up and running a campaign. I began by asking her to tell us about her petition and how she got involved in fighting the fur trade. Tell us about your petition. What is it all about?
Petition is to ban the sale of animal fur in the UK. I used to do quite a bit of activism around Birmingham when I was 18-ish, and then I fell out of it for a while, and then I actually got back into it last year. I went to a demo against fur in Birmingham city centre, and that kind of reignited the spark, really, like just feeling angry and just still, you know, upset that this is still happening, still going on. And yeah, if you look in shop windows, you could still see fur products. After that demo, then I started thinking more and more about fur and just thinking, why are we even having to go out and stand on a Saturday outside the shop selling fur, telling them, you know, that it's wrong? So I thought the law should have changed by now. I kind of researched just a little bit more into how it's legal to sell fur here as part of trade within the EU. We've banned cat and dog fur, but it's still legal to import fur from other animals. I started to think about how I can, you know, maybe if I write to my MP, which I did, and he gave me a response saying that he, you know, he's against fur, he believes in animal welfare. But then I just thought, what else can I do really to kind of get the government to notice that something needs to be done? So then I thought about a petition. And yeah, I found that you can start a petition on the UK government and parliament website. Anyone can start a petition there, and it's really simple and easy to do. And the big plus of starting on the official UK government website is that if you reach 100,000 signatures, there's a chance you'll get debated in Parliament. I started it initially about this time last year, and it got to about 2,000 signatures before they announced the sudden general election, the snap general election.
Oh, yes. We all remember that.
Yeah. And then every petition on the Parliament website just got cut short. They closed them all because they dissolved the petitions committee and everything running up. So, but that actually did work well, because during starting the petition, I actually noticed that there was another extremely similar petition running on the same website, which actually isn't supposed to happen, but it slipped through. And a lady called Diane Smith had also started a petition to ban sale of animal fur. So I did a little Facebook stalk, and I found Diane, and I said, hey, you know, I've seen you've started the same petition as me. I think neither of us are going to achieve this if we work separately. You know, really, it needs to just be one petition. And she was just, first she was annoyed that the kind of two similar petitions have been published.
Yeah, because they shouldn't have both got through, should they?
It was just, I think it was just a genuine mistake on the petitions committee. It shouldn't have got through, but it did. And yeah, me and Diane started chatting, and then we just agreed that the best thing would be to work together. When we worked together, I noticed, compared to the first time, the numbers picked up really quickly. Yeah, within a few days we had about 4,000, which is much more than the first one achieved in, I think it was a few weeks.
So yeah. Really, that working together and kind of two heads are better than one situation,
yeah, definitely.
Really helped.
Yeah, and Diane, you know, she was absolutely amazing in that she tagged so many people as soon as the petition went live. The minute that you could sign it, then all these people did. She was tirelessly just on promoting it on Facebook groups, and you know, with all her friends and everything, which is, she's really determined. I'm really happy that she started the same petition as me.
Yeah.
Because I definitely could not have done it without her.
And does she have any campaigning background at all?
I think she's relatively, you know, new to it as well.
So you're both quite fresh in the campaigning world,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah.
And how did that feel to just go into this whole new realm that you've never experienced before? You know, there's people who've got years and years and years of being activists and campaigners, yeah. and you just kind of, you're completely new to it.
As well as it being really exciting and thinking we're gonna, you know, we want to achieve something good, as well as that feeling, it was also this massive feeling of stress and the stress of just not wanting to fail. Not wanting it to go wrong, because I think when you do something like that, you put so much effort in that the thought of having to do it all again is just really disheartening. So I think it was just a mixture of just different emotions. But again, me and Diane, it was really nice to have her to talk to about it. So when, you know, when the signatures started going up, we'd both message each other and say, "Did you see? Like, it's gone up by 1,000," and then, you know, after a few days when it stagnated, we'd both message each other saying, "Oh no, what are we going to do? It stopped again."
So what did you do? How did you get those numbers going again? Because you got to 100,000 or over 100,000.
Yeah. So me and Diane actually managed between us to get it to 30,000. And that was by, I think, just constant trying to make a presence on social media. So starting Facebook groups and also tweeting people who we knew had who were influential and we knew had followers that would be sympathetic. So, you know, tweeting celebrities. I asked my favourite band to share it.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And you had some support from some sort of animal rights groups.
Yeah, so what happened after we got it to about 30,000. All the time we were contacting charities and asking them to support us. And yeah, it took quite a long time because I think charities get so many requests and, you know, they're probably inundated with people asking them to share things. So eventually the first charity that got back to us was HSI, Humane Society International. Yeah, it was from a tweeted asking to share the petition. And yeah, Claire from HSI, sent me a message on Twitter and she said, "We really want to support the petition." So we've got HSI, then Lush got involved, and Animal Aid, and Peter as well, and Viva.
That's amazing. So some real big players there.
Yeah, it was absolutely, you know, it was amazing just to have kind of the weight lifted a little bit. Me and Diane were just saying, finally, it started to feel like we could actually achieve the 100,000, because we were starting to worry, you know, because it's so difficult to keep the numbers consistently rising. But yeah, when we got the support of all those charities, then we just felt like, great, we've got help now.
So that was like a real breakthrough moment
yeah,
for you both.
Yeah.
What other kind of things did you do to try and get more signatures?
So as well as promoting on social media and asking, you know, people to tweet and share on Facebook, I also I bought like a collapsible table, and I went and set up in town and collected as many signatures as I could. So yeah, I'd go to town some days. I went to a couple of vegan fairs. So I went to Wolverhampton, where it's the West Midlands Vegan Festival, and also went to one in Birmingham. And yeah, I got a lot of signatures there, and my partner Tim came with me, and he helped me. He was really supportive and a big help as well. Also, it's kind of when you're getting signatures, it's reminding people to share. If they sign the petition, then you ask them, "Please, can you share it with your friends and family?" Then that's what kind of makes it really effective.
So if somebody wants to start up their own petition, how would they go about doing it?
Yeah, so you can start a petition really easily online, and you can do it through lots of different organisations. So, I mean, change.org is a big one, and yeah, there's loads of petition sites you can set up on, but the government one, I think, is really effective if you want to specifically challenge something relating to UK law. Then I would use that one. And yeah, it is so easy for anyone to start a petition. You just have to make sure that what you're asking for is clear, and also that it's something that the UK government really has a say on. So if you say, you know, ask for something relating to a law in another country, then our government can't change the laws in the country. I mean, you'd have to phrase it so maybe put pressure on the other country to change their laws. I have to think a lot about the wording.
Okay, so that's the first step, is thinking about the wording and what's actually possible for the UK government to do.
Yeah, yeah. That is if you're just doing it on the government petitions website. So if you're doing something on change, or which is anyone can sign from any country, then that, you know, would be reasonable to, you know, have a goal relating to any country, because then that is presented to the representatives of that country, and people all over the world have signed. So.
Okay, and maybe could you use that as well if you wanted to put pressure on a business or something?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's benefits to the different petition sites. So while change, it's a lot easier to get signatures. Like I said before, I chose the UK one because it's kind of the goal that I wanted to achieve was to address it in Parliament. So yeah, you have to think about what you want to achieve. You have to use that motivation as well to try and get support from charities and organisations, I think, that that will help you. That's, you know, a big help. But I'd say anyone, really, if you're passionate about something, you can start a petition.
Okay, so if you've decided which site you want to use to start your petition,
yeah,
and then you just go onto the website and you just follow the instructions there, is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, so with the UK government e-petitions, it probably takes about, like, it's minutes to set up, you know. Like, once you submit your petition, then the Parliament Committee, they'll review it, see that it meets the criteria. You have to have 5 people to sign it. So usually that's going to be, like, your mum, your dad, your brother, sister, your best friend. And, yeah, then after 5 people have signed it, then it goes live for everyone in the UK to sign.
And then you get a response from the government, don't you?
Yeah.
At a certain point.
If you get 10,000 signatures, you'll get a response from the government.
Okay, and what was the response like that you got for yours?
Yeah, we were pretty disappointed with the response that we got. A lot of people are, because I think the government aren't prepared to give a committed response that is, you know, necessarily going to cause monumental change. So, and I think that's because, you know, 10,000 people don't necessarily have the same weight as 100,000 signatures, which is not to say that it's not a good achievement getting 10,000 signatures. It's amazing if you do that, but it's harder to put that pressure on the government to do something at that point. We just took the response from the government at 10,000 as kind of standard stock response, that they're happy to leave things as they are. They said about working towards better animal welfare in other countries which supply us with fur, which, yes, of course, we should be working and trying to encourage other countries to have better animal welfare, but there is absolutely no reason why we can't have a ban on products that are inherently cruel. We banned fur farming in 2000, the UK did, and then Scotland followed, and that's because even as the government claim we are a world leader in animal welfare, you can be the best country in terms of animal welfare, but fur farms are never going to be ethical.
No, and that's where our fur comes from, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. In other countries.
Well, it comes from 80-ish% is from fur farms, and the remaining percentage is trapped fur. But yeah, it's in the government response, it was saying that we should be handing over our responsibility of animal welfare to other countries and expecting them to improve, rather than, you know, following through with our belief that fur farms are so cruel that we don't have them ourselves, and, you know, therefore not importing fur. If fur farms are illegal here, why are we importing fur from fur farms in other countries?
Yeah, so it's kind of just letting someone else do the dirty work.
Exactly.
For you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's as HSI put it, it's outsourcing animal cruelty.
How did you feel about governmental process? Were you surprised about things? Were you shocked about things?
One thing that I did think while I was collecting signatures, and, you know, me and Diane working on signatures, was people have to have an email address and be computer literate to sign these petitions. So one disappointing thing was when I was collecting signatures on paper, quite a few people who are from the older generation, they didn't have email addresses and they weren't computer literate, but they wanted to sign. So I was really sad to say, oh, I'm sorry, it's an e-petition. So
that's a real shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, as well, I think the petitions process is it is while it's accessible and you know you've got the bonus of social media to help you. I think it is still very, very difficult to actually achieve 100,000 signatures for a parliamentary debate, and I think it's a bit of a shame because there's so many worthy causes and worthy petitions that are up and running, but when you look at the numbers, you just think there's no way that they're going to reach the target in time, and that's just because people who started them, you know, their point that they're making might be absolutely, you know, completely right and completely just, but if they don't have the social circles to promote the petition in life and online, then they're not going to achieve it. So, and if they don't have the support of, you know, organisations to help them. So that's one aspect of it that I do find a little unfair.
So what would your advice be then if people are worried about that? They're thinking, you know, I want to start a petition, but I don't think I know the right people to support it. What would you advise them to do?
So I would definitely say from mine and Diane's experience, so we did start out like that initially. It was just me and her and, you know, hoping that our friends would share and their friends would share. But we just got lucky in that after we worked hard, then organisations got involved helping us. So I would definitely say to people, plan ahead before you start the petition and try and get the support and backing of a supportive organisation before you get it rolling. We were very close to not succeeding, and the fact that we did get support is really lucky. And so yeah, I'd definitely say to other people, get the support beforehand.
Once your petition reached 100,000, which was quite close to the deadline, wasn't it? Which must have been, but it was really rapidly increasing. You could watch the screen and sort of see the numbers go up and up before your eyes.
Yeah.
So once it had reached that 100,000, what happened?
There's a lot of uproar on Facebook, kind of the people that have been supporting the petition. Everyone was really happy, but it took a little while for the government to actually set a date for the debate. All the excitement and everything is on our side. It's kind of, it's just a process for the petitions committee, really. It's just, they have to do the, you know, paperwork and everything and arrange the date, so that takes some time.
Because a debate isn't guaranteed, is it? But it's quite likely.
I think it's not guaranteed that you'll get a debate, but I think providing that your petition is based on something that is sensible, then really you should get a parliamentary debate. I think that the reason that they review the petition before deciding whether it gets a debate is in case a ridiculous petition gets 100,000 signatures, which, you know, would just maybe be a waste of government time. You know, I didn't really doubt that it wouldn't be debated because I think it is really in the public interest as well. And it's quite big in the media at the moment as well, with fake fur being sold and it's turning out to be real. So, yeah, I did expect them to, you know, follow through with the debate.
And they did. So did they just sort of contact you to say when your date was for the debate?
Yeah, so I got an email saying that the debate's going to be held on the 4th of June 2018. So it's just a matter then of preparing for that. And also now we're trying to get people to email their MP to attend the debate because, you know, the important thing is that there are lots of MPs there to engage and to, you know, raise the debate, really raises awareness about the whole issue. HSI you know, getting people, they're briefing MPs and Respect for Animals as well, they're working really hard in preparation for the debate. And I should say I've left out Respect for Animals as well, sorry, but they've been really supportive from the beginning.
That's great. So when it comes to the actual debate on the 4th of June, will you have to attend?
I don't have to, but I definitely am because I really want to. So me and Diane have both got a place reserved. There's only 30 seats in the public viewing gallery. Yep. Apart from us, it is first come, first serve. So I didn't actually think that the seats would be so limited. So it was, I was a bit surprised when he said that there's 30 seats altogether. And then, you know, after me and Diane have sat down, there's 28. So you're not allowed to talk and put your view in the debate. It is purely to watch. So you can watch it on the Parliament TV online, which is, it's live. And
unlimited seating when it's online.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone can watch. So it's pretty much the same being sat there or watching it online. So
And will you have to say anything? Will you have to do an introduction, or will someone from one of the charities that supported you do it?
They haven't asked me to do any kind of introduction at the moment, so I'm not expecting to.
So I guess if people are quite keen to do something similar to what you've done and try and create change, but they're scared of the idea of speaking in public, yeah, and you know, they don't really want to get up in front of Parliament or the public and talk, then actually that's not a huge concern, because you don't have to.
That is, you definitely don't have to if you don't want to. You can, you know, you can start a petition, and really you can rest assured that you can work hard in the background. Really, you don't have to put yourself out there and you know, become a public figure or anything. So yeah, I wouldn't let that put people off.
That's good. Yeah. And how are you feeling now that your petition is about to be debated?
It is an amazing feeling that that, you know, we've achieved the goal, and that there are going to be all these members of Parliament sat down talking about this issue, which has needed to been you know, talked about for so long. It's an amazing feeling, but I think also, again, there's that little element of stress, that just wondering which way it's going to swing, hoping that, you know, most of the people there will see that the industry is cruel, and, you know, there are so many there's so many reasons to ban fur. It's just hoping that all the valid points will be able to be put across.
Throughout that whole, the process you've already had so far, what has kept you going? What puts that fire in your belly?
Just 100% thinking about the animals and what they're going through. We are so disgusted by the cruelty that these animals face. And that is the only thing that really, really keeps us going. To give up is really to give up on the animals. Because they don't have a voice, so we are their voice, and, you know, we're responsible for fighting for them. So really, we can't give up. It's just, you know, it's not an option.
It's clear that, you know, you wanted to make change because it's something you feel so strongly about. And I bet there are loads of people out there who are just as passionate about other things, maybe the same thing, but, you know, animal rights, human rights, environmental issues. So if there's someone there sitting, listening to this, thinking, yes, she's done something and I want to do that as well, I want to make a change, what would your advice to them be?
My first thing I'd say would be congratulations and well done, because, like, that's an amazing, you know, positive attitude to have. And, yeah, my advice would be, prepare yourself, approach it logically and methodically, because that will give you the best kind of basis of having a solid argument and furthering your goal. While it's absolutely essential that you have a passion and that you hold on to your passion, I think unfortunately, where I've seen some petitions fail is because they've kind of run forward with their passion without, you know, thinking about how to present a logical argument. Yeah, you have to be realistic, and you have to be prepared to work very hard. But, you know, if you have that passion and that drive, and you really want to achieve something, then that's what's going to get you through.
So the crucial question: would you do it all again?
I would definitely do it all again, like, without a doubt. You know, if I had to go back 10 times and do it, then I still would, because, you know, if this happens and if we achieve a ban, then we've been born into the earth, and then we've left it a slightly better place.
So, it's a really nice way to look at it. And yeah, I really hope you don't have to go back and do it 10 times over.
Yeah, no, me too. But you know, if I had to, then I would. I think we both would.
We'll hold you to that. I really wish you the very best of luck.
Thank
I really
you.
Hope it goes a good way. I'm sure we'll all be watching closely. So watch this space, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll see if very soon maybe we'll have a ban on the sale of fur in the UK.
I really hope so.
Thank you so much for joining me. It's been really inspiring to hear about your journey. And hopefully some other people might take inspiration from you and want to do similar things.
That would be amazing. That really would.
Thanks so much, Catherine.
Thank you.
Catherine Reader, co-creator of the petition to ban the sale of animal fur in the UK. Catherine's petition will be debated on the 4th of June 2018. And if you're interested in finding out more, you can watch the live stream on parliamentlive.tv. Thank you for listening.